If you would, look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to be talking about the kingdom of God in the next few days, next few Sundays. We begin here. It says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Let's pray together. Will you bow with me? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from us. And then our prayer moves to being grateful and thankful. Who the Lord is, what he does, how he leads us through, what he reveals to us. We just give thanks. So let the Holy Spirit move your heart right now and your mind to remind you of what you need to be grateful and thankful for. We give you an opportunity to pray for other people. People that he has put on your mind and heart, that your life has overlapped into their life for a long time or maybe even just recently. And I ask that you pray for them. They need a spiritual direction, emotional healing in their mind, just the mental health of their life. Some of them need to be saved. It's just flat out the basic of being saved. Some need financial direction and help. Some need Christian relationships and truth tellers in their life. Some are physically ill and sick. So for those people, lift them up to our Heavenly Father right now by name. Let's pray for nations. We're called to the nations, no matter how big or small a church may be in number. We're all called to the nations. Pray for the Lord to sweep among the nations. We continue to pray for the war with Ukraine and Russia, what's happening in Iran, the persecution of Christians in Nigeria and Syria, and now even in Iran. And yes, there are Christian churches there. Just what's happening all over with Venezuela. Just, Lord, sweep these nations. If you're a believer, we just look for any opportunity that we have a house of peace or an open door to share the gospel of Christ. The peace of Jerusalem. We pray for that. We desire for that. Sometimes our only concern is just my neighborhood. And yes, we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but we're called to the nations as well. Pray for our nation that our hearts would turn back to him again. It's a constant prayer for revival among us. Our lives need transforming and changing. Today, with many denominations today, and even next Sunday, with even more denominations, is a day set aside as Sanctity of Life Day. And yes, obviously the picture of that is on the birth of children. But it also moves through the whole span of life. So let's stop for a moment and give thanks for the life that God has given us. And that he does give, that we have an opportunity and a chance. As a pastor, I don't want anybody to suffer. I don't, even though I know we will. But he gives us life. Let's give thanks to the Lord because he has the words of life. Let's give thanks to him because he leads us to abundant life. And let's give thanks to him that through him we have the gift of eternal life. That everything about him is life. And I pray that all of us, no matter what our sayings may be to other people, that we just value life the way that He values life. And we say thanks for the life that we have. Father, we ask that You bless an offering that we've taken, some electronically through the week, some are giving today. Yet we exist, Lord, to advance Your kingdom and present Your gospel. Moment by moment, we do that. And we ask Your blessing on that offering. But more than the ones who gave it today, there's a greater blessing, and that's them. That's their lives. We thank You for them, their faithfulness. And Lord, we also thank You for their obedience to carry Your gospel to all parts of the world. We just give You thanks. And then Lord, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to Your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge You give to me to speak to a person or their situation. If You prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And You see all of us today, Lord, but You see me differently. I'm Your teacher, I'm Your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anyone here. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing Your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, His name that I preach. Amen. It's good to see you. Thanks for being here today. And we pray that you are blessed today. So just the next, this Sunday and three more, we're going to be dealing with just a refocus on the kingdom of God for a moment. Then we'll be moving into our Lent season. And yes, it's going to be here before you know it. Time change is just around the corner where we spring forward and the days become even longer. And then also we're coming into Easter, the first week of April. But I wanted to just give you some reminders about the kingdom of God and how we live in it and what we do with it. Mark 1:15, the passage that I gave to you today, just very simply tells us that the kingdom of God is here. And then he gives us, in fact, if you want to know the truth, this is the first sermon Jesus ever preached. And that is that, and he says to repent and believe in the gospel, which is the good news. I need to remind you that the kingdom of God is not a territory. It's not geographical. You can't, it's not fenced off. That's what a lot of people believed about Jesus. They wanted, they thought he was going to set up this physical kingdom. And if you remember, the disciples even argued about what places they would have in the hierarchy in his kingdom. If you remember, and if you don't, I'll remind you on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, that he marched in as with the processional of a king. And they were wondering and afraid that he was going to take over Jerusalem and establish his kingdom, a physical kingdom, just like a government. And that's not the case. So the kingdom of God is not some geographical reign or territory. It's the rule of God in your heart. When we pray for the nations and we pray for peace all over the world, especially the hot spots in our world, what am I praying for when I pray for peace? Well, the only way that's going to happen is when the kingdom of God begins to rule the people's hearts. Amen. It's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to be through legislative movements. It's going to be when God has and owns their heart. And I learned this as a little boy, that all the places he wants to be and all the places he can be, the place he wants to be most is in your heart. And you're going to go, well, how do I know that? How do I know the kingdom of God is in your heart? Glad you asked that question. I'm going to give you that in the rest of the sermon. Because you'll ask the question, what about the mind? Don't I hear there's a battle for your mind? Certainly, it's an incredibly important place, but it's where the enemy's lies will reign in our minds, and then there's a battle for God's truth in our minds. I really believe I boil down all of our lives don't say some of our lives, all. I personally believe this with all of my heart, that there is a battle between the lies of the enemy and the truth and the whisper of Christ in our minds. I think all of life boils down to that. Those two things, period. I think it just comes down to those two topics. But certainly there is a battle for your mind. It's His truth. And remember, He is truth. It's just not His words, which are true. He is the person of truth. He said, I am truth. So what about your soul? You're saying that the kingdom of God's in your heart. There's the battle for the mind. Certainly, it's part of it. What about losing your soul? What about that? Does the kingdom of God not affect my mind and my soul? Of course it does. He breathed within us the breath of life. We're talking about sanctity of life today, that how valuable your soul is. In fact, Jesus preaches, what if you gain the whole world, all the wealth? You and I are enamored by people who own major companies and the billions of dollars that they have. We just stand in awe of them sometimes. It really doesn't move me whatsoever to think of what they can and can't do and where they can absolutely go in their own life. But Jesus teaches that if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, that what do you profit? That's how valuable your soul is. It's eternal. Your soul is eternal. And is it important? Yes. Does the kingdom of God affect your mind and your soul? Absolutely. But it starts somewhere. Where does it start? Well, Samuel learned this lesson from God himself when he was looking for a king. And he was told to go to the house of Jesse. And Jesse evidently had all these boys. And I don't know if they lined them up like it's a pageant or what. But it seemed in my picture as I read it that here sits Samuel, and I've got him in a cane bottom chair, you know, because I'm a country boy. And he's sitting there, and these boys just line up, you know, and come in. I don't know if they're posing like they're weightlifters or bodybuilders. I don't know what they're doing. But there's one of them that Samuel's interest goes into. God says to Samuel, I want you to look what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. Now, how many of us do that with everybody? Yep. Huh? I mean, just stop. Some of you all want really deep stuff in the Word of God, and yet you don't even handle the simple stuff in the Word of God. It's not the appearances. Do not look at his appearance or his stature. Hasn't that fooled you with people? It certainly has me. Because I have rejected him. And he says to Samuel, God says this, man does not see what the Lord sees. For man sees what is visible. But where does the Lord look? All the time at the heart. Yeah, does the kingdom of God affect your mind? Sure. Does it affect your soul? I'll show you in a moment how all that comes together. But let's just get the perspective of God himself. What he looks, he's not interested in your bumper stickers on your car. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are the plaques on your wall or the posters you have in your house? He looks at your heart. That's exactly where he begins. And I need to be reminded of that. I know you do too. We need to be reminded of that. Look at the plea of God in Proverbs chapter 23 and 26. He said, my son, give me your heart. It's the plea of God. And let your eyes observe my ways. Pay attention to what I'm doing and give me your heart. I want you to look at Romans 10, verses 8 and 10 for just a moment. And I want you to see how Paul wrote this. And it really is the whole counsel of God through Scripture. But I wanted you to see how your surrender begins in your heart. Now, am I talking about the physical muscle that you hope is beating right now? No. But I just want you to know the heart means what's central to you. Because if this thing starts beating, if it stops beating, then it's over, okay? It's very central, not only location, but it's central to my life. We all know that. So the place of surrender becomes the very core of me, and that is my heart. So on the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, which is the message of the kingdom of God. In your mouth and in your heart, this is the message of faith that we proclaim. Look at verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe, where becomes the starting point? In your heart. What is central to me? I mean, he is central of my life. He's the center of my life. He's the focus of my life. He's the treasure of my life.
Amen.
And I've said this and got some rebuttal. I love Julie Wynn. You have no idea how much I love her. But she's not the center of my life. And she's not the treasure of my heart. I know what you mean when you say that, but we got to watch that. She's not. She's close, but she's not. Who is? He is. He's the center of my life. He's the treasure of my life. That you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Look at verse 10. We're focusing on the heart here. One believes with the heart. That's the place of surrender with us, resulting in righteousness. And then what's connected to the heart is your mouth. You know, you really can be the dummy in the ventriloquist act. You know what I'm saying? The what comes out our mouth comes from our heart. It's not a disconnection of your brain. It's what's in your heart. It flows out of there. We'll get there in a moment too. One confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. I wanted you to see that. The surrender place, the beginning surrender place, is our heart, the central part of us. Look at Psalm 51, beginning in verse 10. This is the confession of David. He's confessing his affair with Bathsheba. He's confessing the murder of her husband to cover it up, all that's involved. He said, God, create a clean heart for me. I've got to have a new starting point. I've got to begin again. How do I do that? I do it with a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Look at verse 11. And this is not what God does, but this is how alone David feels. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore the joy of your salvation. A lot of times we quote this wrong because you and I say, restore the joy of my salvation. And your salvation is not your salvation. It's his salvation that he gave to you. So you should always refer to it as your salvation. To me, and give me a willing spirit. So what does David pray? Give me a new heart. I've got to have a new beginning. And I love the Lord for a lot of reasons, but I just want to be honest with you. I thank him for the do-overs. You know, I don't know about you, but I thank you for the mercies that are new every single day. But so when we surrender to Christ, we surrender to him with everything. I want you to look at Luke 10:27 for a moment. And then I want you to see the order here. And I want you to see the sequencing here. He answered, the Lord did, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That's the first sequence process. With all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But look where it starts. Where does it start? The heart. Does it, then does that affect the soul? Well, that's next in line. Do you realize that through that you've got heaven's strength to get through worldly situations? Yes. And then does it affect your mind? Yeah, but just look at the sequencing. Heart, soul, strength, mind. There's got to be a beginning place, and that beginning place is I have settled it in my heart. I have surrendered my heart with everything that is central, to me. Look at Proverbs 4:23 for a moment. You need to have your heart checked regularly. My cardiologist visit is next month. Okay, so it's coming up. I have it checked regularly, but you got to spiritually have your heart checked every day. Look what it says: guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. The flowing out of your life, it comes from your heart. Now you're going, hey preacher, I thought this was about the kingdom of God. Well, it is. It sounds like it's about the heart. Well, it is. But where does the kingdom of God rule? He rules your heart. There's a reason that he needs to rule our heart. Look at Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. It says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else. Okay, this is stop. Don't say it to your neighbor, keep this in yourself, but how many of you have said to somebody that you're talking to somebody else about them, but in your mind, and you know you can't trust them? You may pass a name to somebody else, and you may not add, I don't trust them, but you might think it, because the heart is deceitful. It's conniving. It's plotting. All the time. And incurable. Who can understand it? That's a question we have. Verse 10. I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. You and I are going to reap what we sow. If you sow conflict, you're going to reap conflict. If you're an agitator, you're going to get agitating. You know, you reap what you sow. And that becomes a kingdom, since we're on that topic, principle. You have to look at the heart's deceitful. Look at Mark 7, 21 and 23. We're going to go through the list here. Don't enjoy this list, okay? Don't enjoy it. For from within, out of people's, say it with me, hearts comes evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil action, deceit, lewdness, stinginess, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile a person. Where do they originate? In the heart. In the heart. It's something we have to guard and we have to watch out for. So how do I check my heart? How do I do that? How's that happen with me? To make sure that Christ is the center and the treasure of my life and that the kingdom rules my heart. How do I check that? Look at Hebrews 4:12 for just a moment. You're going to have to be in the Word of God. Can I tell you, I'm going to say this, you'll binge watch, man, you will binge watch. You won't give 5 minutes to the Word of God, but you'll give 5 hours to Netflix, Apple TV, Prime, HBO Max, whatever else. Don't tell me you don't. You won't give 5 minutes to the Word of God, but you'll binge watch junk. You'll do it. And then you wonder why your heart is the way it is. Because you've got to guard it. You've got to guard it. It's got a plan of its own, and it's not good. And we've got to guard it. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. What does that mean? It means the word of God will go places in your life that nothing else goes. It is able to judge the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. And my heart needs to be judged on that. You're going, well, in this modern world today, how do I guard against that? How can I be around the world, the word more often? Well, I use several devotions in my life. Some of them are sent to me on email. Some of them are on our app. Some of them I have other apps for. When I go to the gym, I put it on Christian music that I'm listening to. And usually, just like last night, I put it on one song and I put it on repeat and I listen to that song for the hour, completely. I didn't listen to two or a whole playlist. I just listened to one song, and I tried to listen to every phrase of it. I've gone to audiobooks, a lot of them, about God's grace that we have coming up as a topic that we'll be looking at during Lent. I just really, any podcast or audio book that I listen to or audible, I try to make it all around the Word of God. I try to make it to where it's feeding me, that it's constantly feeding me all the time. And it's important. You gotta work at it. I mean, you got to work at it. You got to plan your day like you do your diet, I mean, you've got to work it. But what does the Word of God do? The Word of God will judge the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. My heart may be thinking one way, and then the Word of God shows me my heart should be concentrating on something else completely different. And it's just a picture. How do I check it? We want you in the Word, and we want the Word in you. Look at Psalm 119, 9 and 11. I learned this as a little boy. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, first of all, we who are parents, especially with kids, we need to teach them that it should be pure. Sowing wild oats is not a natural progression. By keeping your word, Lord, keep not your word. Yes, you need to keep your word, but by keeping his word. Look at verse 10. I have sought you with all my heart. I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands, Lord. Look at verse 11. I have treasured your word in my heart. Hang on. Why? So that when you're away from Scripture, that it will happen. I'm going to use this illustration, and I have fought using this illustration all week long, okay? And some of you may not even know what I'm talking about. I hope you don't. And if you don't go out and buy it, okay? But when I was growing up, you asked the eight ball questions, and you'd shake the eight ball. Do y'all remember that? You ask questions and it floats up, now I guess it's Yoda, it gives you the answer. But I've treasured these words in your heart. Why? So that I may not sin against you. That when life happens, one of the things that floats to the top of your mind and your heart is his word. Yes. 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 That I want his word to engage. And look what it says. I've treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Now, I've said this about younger generations, and I mean it, but some of you have more lines in movies memorized than you do scripture memorized. You can tell me, I can mention a movie, and you just give me and pop me the blurbs and the key lines in it or whatever, And it makes me wonder. I've said it to people. I'm like, do you have that much scripture memorized in your own life? You use that because as you live your life, it will happen. It will emerge into your life. And you've got to learn to live with those kingdom principles that Scripture absolutely are able to bring to you. So I wanted you to see that. Why do I hide it in my heart? So that I won't sin against you, so that it will emerge in my life. Colossians 3:15, this is a verse, and I want you to see how the rule of God is there, okay? And let the peace of Christ, the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your what? Your hearts. And be thankful. Be thankful. Let it control that. Let it look after that. And it's the peace of Christ ruling your heart, which is the kingdom of God, being able to do that. Look at 2 Chronicles 16:9. This is one of my life verses. I think of this verse daily. For the eyes of the Lord, Yahweh, roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those whose hearts are completely his. That I want him to, when he sees my heart, I want him to always be able to find it loyal. Look at Proverbs 3:5. We won't go more into that. Just stay there at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding in him. I know you're going, is this a sermon about the heart or the kingdom? Well, yes. The answer is yes. Because where does the kingdom of God rule? It's not farmland. You can't fence it off. It's not something geographical that can be bought and sold. It's the rule of God in your heart. Look at Matthew 6:33. Most of you know this. Just a reminder. But seek first the kingdom of God. It's the first thing I look. I get up in the morning and you're going to say, well, I want my preacher to do that. I don't do it because I'm a preacher. I do it because I'm a believer. So what I want to do all day long is, what does the kingdom of God say? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look, you're worried about what will or will not be added. And he says, I will resource the kingdom life. He said, all these things will be provided for you. He provides for the kingdom life. I know that can sound confusing, really. I mean, I do. But here's what it boils down to in some simplicity. You seek the kingdom of God. And if you do that, it means you're seeking the king of that kingdom. You're seeking him. I just want to show you how, even from when Jesus left heaven and became incarnate with us, became flesh with us, we obviously know this during our Christmas season. And I want to, even though it's January, I want to just reach back into the Christmas season for just a moment. And I want to show you where all of heaven knew then he was king, okay? Look at Luke 1:32 and 33. And we've been talking about the angel Gabriel in the book of Daniel when we went through it. Here he is again. And Gabriel is announcing all this to Mary. So this is one of the highest ranking angels of heaven who is conversing with Mary. Not only revealing himself as Gabriel the angel, but revealing the message of heaven and the plan of heaven. Okay? And that he is king. Look what he says. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, which means he's king, his kingdom will have no end. So we seek his kingdom first. We live daily with a kingdom response, not a worldly response, but a kingdom response. And then guess what you get? You get kingdom results. And then all the glory then goes to the king. And let's just make a commitment today that we guard our hearts. We see that they are loyal, make sure they're loyal to him, and we surrender to this today. I ask that you pray with me. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray over our people today. I can't surrender for them, but I surrender for me. That you are king of my heart. It belongs to you. It's yours. And I pray for that surrender today. This a refocus, Lord, a rededication, a recommitment. I pray the prayer of David for us. Lord, give me a new heart. I need to start again. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. That becomes our prayer today. And Lord, I thank you that you're king, not only of my heart, but you're king of all. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The one who was, is, and always will be. You're the first and the last. You're the beginning and the end. You're a redeemer and savior. You are Christ the anointed. And we thank you that in all that, you can become king of our hearts. We surrender to that today. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, stand with me. Will you do that? Counselors, find your spot. The team's going to lead us. You may want to come and be prayed for, with, or prayed over. You may want to come and surrender and rededicate your life in just a moment of an altar prayer before the Lord and before people. The invitation is, whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.